Brother George just called to us, to our attention, the fall of Babylon. That's a fascinating story. We're not going into it. I just mentioned something. How do you think Babylon fell? It was a great city, and through the middle of Babylon, the river ran. Read when you go home, if it's in your history books. What the Persians did was divert the river and came by foot into Babylon. That's how they got in there. Isn't that fascinating? That's the sort of thing you like to read about. There's a lot of it in the Bible. But that's not our subject. Wednesday night, we began the subject of the Word of God. And we saw that this Bible is not the Word of man. It is the Word of God Himself. And we saw that the Word is eternal. Now, there's one aspect of that that I didn't cover, and I think we should. Matthew chapter 5. The word of the Lord is everlasting and always will be, in spite of men's efforts to do away with the Lord word. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18. I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. What's a jot and what's a tittle? I never studied Hebrew, so I had to look it up. And according to Rideout, a master of Hebrew and Greek, he says the following. The jot and the tittle were the smallest marks in the Hebrew alphabet. Not the smallest letters, the smallest marks. Answering to the dot over an I or the crossing of a T. And he says, we might translate that verse as follows. Not a dot to an I or a cross to a T will all be fulfilled. Do you understand that? It's hard enough to understand that every word is going to be fulfilled. How do you fulfill the cross to a D? How do you fulfill the dot over an I? Oh, I'm waiting to see you. Frankly, I don't understand it. But I'm sure looking forward to see you. Now we continue further with our study. And we want to look into the matter of... Oh, I have a number of things here. We touched on this before, but I want to touch on it again. Read with me, please, in 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22. I go over it again. And we often say education is repetition. So never object to reading the same verse or the same passage in the Bible again and again. The more you go over it, the more you get. I remember the first Sunday that I had breakfast with Brother Rose. And Brother Rose said to me, "Brother, I have been studying the book of Isaiah for 53 years. And this morning I saw something new." Isn't that thrilling? That's the nature of the book. So when we review and review and review, don't think it's in vain. It's old, but ever new. Now 2 Kings, please. Chapter 22. Verse 8. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, "I have found what? The book." T-H-E. The book of the Lord. In the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave what? The book to Shaphan. Verse 10. Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest delivered unto me what? A book. The Bible is not a book. The Bible is the book. How do you feel about that? Many of us have read many books. It's been my privilege under the Lord to have read many books. This is the book. We are all familiar with the story of Sir Walter Scott, the one who wrote the treatise on the book of the Revelation, and I recommend it to you. He was in his library at ease, and his nephew came in, and he said to his nephew, bring me the book. And his nephew said, uncle, you have so many books around, which one do you want? He said, there's only one book. And I want to tell you, beloved, there's only one book, and this is it. Now what we want to look into, how do you feel about the book? Our reaction to the book. Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. How do we feel about the book? Is it a book? Is it another book? Job chapter 23, verse 10. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Now verse 12. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. Please note, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Is it true? Is it true of me? We've all heard of Thomas Edison. Thomas Alva Edison. Great research man in electricity. If he were alive today, perhaps he could have told us how to avoid this electrical blackout that we are suffering. He was a very intense student, and he stayed in his laboratory and worked hard and hard. And his wife would call and say, Tom, come, supper is ready. All right, I'll be there soon. And 2 hours later, he went to supper. He was absorbed in what he was doing. Job says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. We're going out this afternoon to have a time of fellowship together around the delicacies that the sisters have prepared. And I might suggest to you that the best cooking I've ever tasted was among the sisters of God's people. They can really cook. Which would you prefer, going to the picnic or staying here until 5 o'clock and reading the Word? Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Oh, child of God, do you like the Bible? How do you feel about the Bible? Let's read on. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 7. Now, as we read this psalm, there are different words all referring to the Word of God. And I suggest when you get home that you look up these different words, the differences in meaning, and they give you insight into the Word of God. Verse 7, Psalm 19. The law of the Lord. That's the Bible. is perfect. Any disagreement with that? The law of the Lord is perfect. Shakespeare isn't perfect. Cicero isn't perfect. But the Word of God is perfect. The testimony, that's another name for the Bible, of the Lord is pure. We have a lot of impure books circulating, these magazines, this, you'll pardon the expression, this filth that's going around in this nation. Our brother spoke about this nation turning away from God. You find it in the literature, and not only in the literature, but on the radio and TV. The words that people use today, they never used them when I was a boy. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right. The commandment of the Lord is pure. The fear of the Lord is clean. The judgments of the Lord are pure. Oh, now look at verse 10 and tell me how you feel. Do you agree with the psalmist? I won't ask you to answer out loud. You answer between you and God. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Is that true? Do you enjoy reading the Word of God? I've told you about a friend of mine, worked at Macy's in New York, and during lunch hour, he went to the gymnasium to read. He thought he was alone, and as he read, he said, "Wow!" And there was another fellow in there, "Can I help you? What's wrong with you?" He said, "I don't think you'd understand. When is the last time you said wow when you read the Word of God? Have you ever said wow? I want to tell you, beloved, there are things in this book that will make you jump out of your seat." I had a couple of those experiences in the last week. The Word of God. Sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. More to be desired than much fine gold. Everybody's working hard, want a good job, want to make money. So what are you going to do with it all? How much do you need? The psalmist said, "This is to me more valuable than fine gold." Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 47. "I will delight myself in the commandments which I have loved." Is that true? Do we delight in the Word of God? The story is told of an old fellow in one of the outlying areas of Africa. A dear native there reading his Bible. And a visitor came along and said, "You're always reading the Bible. Don't you get tired?" And this native answered and said, "You ought to be glad I'm reading the Bible, because if I weren't reading this, I might be eating you." The Word of God. How thrilling. Verse 72. Oh my. "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Is that true? Which would you rather have? The Word of God or a lot of money? And you know, we read in Ecclesiastes that money will never satisfy. One of the Rockefellers was asked, When will you be satisfied with your millions? He said, when I have more. Well, how much do you need? What can you do with all that money? The word of God is far more profitable. And to think that you have it in your hand. As we mentioned on Wednesday night, there are some areas where there's only one Bible available for a whole community. And people come to this central area and read a few verses, and there's a long line waiting to read a few verses from the Bible. And here we have it. Each one has his and her own Bible. As our brother has said, we are blessed. This is a blessed land. But oh, I fear that when the judgment comes, it's going to come. Verse 97, please. Oh, my. Oh, how I love thy law. Oh, beloved, do you love the Bible? Do you really love the Bible? Or do you read it routinely because I'm supposed to read it every morning? And I read a verse, and by the time I get to my job, I've forgotten the verse. We should develop a love for the Bible. A love for the Bible. Verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Oh my. From the time I was a child to today, there is one item that I have always liked. Ice cream. Particularly vanilla ice cream. And I remember my father on Wednesday nights at home used to have a Bible class. And these men would get together. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's precious. But I said to myself, you know, they sound as if they're eating ice cream. The word of God. Is it sweet? Do you like it? Do you like the taste of it? Sweet to my taste. Verse 127. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Now we all need money. Nope. I don't argue against working and saving money. We all need money. But which do you prefer? Money or this book? Story is told of an old believer. This happened out in England. Lived in the top floor, the attic. And a visitor came to see him and said, how do you manage to live here? It's dark, it's damp, little light. How do you manage to live here? He said, I just enjoy living in the light of His Word. Think he could do it? Could you do it? In a dark, damp place, and you are at ease with the book. I told you recently, and I think I should repeat it, about Dr. Arthur Clarke. Solitary confinement for 3 months. Cold. Poor food. Rats running over him at night and in the day. And he asked the guard to give him his Bible, a notebook, and a pencil. And in that circumstance, Arthur Clarke wrote a treatise on the Book of Psalms. And in my humble judgment, it's one of the best. 3 months in solitary confinement. I wonder what I would do. Knowing myself as I do, I think I'd be there grumbling. How long am I going to stay in this? Why don't they give me better food? Why don't they give me a blanket? Arthur Clarke asked for his Bible and wrote a treatise on the Word of God. And beloved, I suggest in the dark moments, and we will have them, the Lord said, in the world you will have tribulation, yet alone with the Lord and with his book. And his fruit will be sweet to your taste. Verse 159. Consider how I love thy precepts. Can we truthfully say, Lord, consider how I love thy word? And beloved, if you don't love the word, may I suggest that you get on your knees and ask God to give you a love for the word of God. And I mean a real love, not just a liking, a love. I think of my father. I have a few pictures of him. And in every picture, he was holding a Bible, except two. And one day I said to him, Papa, I'd like to have a picture of you and mother. I made the arrangements with the photographer, and they went for the picture. And what do you think? When the picture came back, he held his wife by the right hand and had a Bible in the left. He loved the word. Beloved, let us develop a love for the word of God. Verse 165. Oh, these are troublesome times, aren't they? Lights out, power out, water failing, trees falling. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And you know this is true. In the midst of the storm, oh, I personally relaxed and prayed. You'd be amazed. The God gave me quietness. Didn't he do it for you? Why, sure, that's what he does. Those that love the word. Now, Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. What are you feeding on, child of God? Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. When is the last time you had a good meal from the book of God? And I want to tell you, there are all kinds of delicacies in there, as we shall see a little later. There's strong meat, and there's delicate meat, and there's also milk. And by the way, all the vitamins are in the Word of God. Get that in the book of Acts. Sometimes a patient would come to you and say, I need something to build me up. In the book of the Acts, chapter 17, the Apostle Paul tells us, the Word of God will build you up. There are vitamins in there. Hear a lot today about vitamins and inorganic salts and proteins and this and that, the other. Take this and you'll get strong. Take this and it'll give you good bones. Take this and you'll be a healthy Christian. Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 1. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this scroll and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this scroll, that I may give thee. Now, what happened? Then I did eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness.
When's the last time you had a good piece of candy? It's right here. Right here. Sweet. Sweet. I think of the time that my father died. And a friend of mine came and he said, he was a humanist. You know what they are. Mrs. Garnes, it's in times like these that our civilization comes to our rescue. Civilization never come to your rescue? I thank the Lord my mother was composed in spite of grief. And she said, Doctor, I'm not depending on civilization. I'm depending on God. She put him in his place. What are you depending on, child? Child of God? The Word. Now turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 12. For when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Failure of the believer to grow. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong diet. Strong meat. Full diet. What kind of diet are you on, child of God? I remember my wife's father, whenever you talk about diet, you know what he would say? I'm on a full diet. What kind of diet are you on? What kind of diet are you on? Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word. Strong meat, solid food, belongs to them that are mature. Are you drinking milk or are you taking in strong meat? Where are you in the book? Have you gone through the study of Egypt, from Egypt to Canaan? That's a fascinating study. Have you gone through yet the study of the tabernacle? Have you gone through yet the study of the dispensations? The seven churches in Asia? Oh my. The priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's strong meat. Where are you, child of God? Strong meat. 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. I remember as a child, I wondered, what is this sincere milk? How can milk be other than sincere? My mother used to send me to the store and she would say, Arthur, go to the store and tell the man to give you a quart of unadulterated milk, pure milk. That's what the sincere milk, the pure milk. Be careful what Bible you read. We'll come to that in our study further on in the will of the Lord. The pure milk of the Word of God. This is the pure milk. Don't feed on anything else. Some believers, and I know there are none here, feed on the radio, feed on TV. And it's amazing how much they know of their subject. I think of one sportsman, and he was able to tell you every car that won every race for the last 20 years. Can you do it? Another one was able to tell you every horse that won first, second, and third for the last 20 years. You must spend a lot of time studying horses, huh? How about this book? How advanced are we? And to think that the book has a sweet taste. It's not like taking medicine. It's something that you enjoy and it's good for you. That's a wonderful combination, isn't it? Revelation chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10, verse 8. The voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. He said unto me, take the book, eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, and it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. When's the last time you ate up the Bible? When's the last time you ate up a verse? It was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. I wonder why it's sweet in your mouth, and then when it gets further in, it's bitter. Any thoughts? Well, I'll tell you my thought on it. Sweet, yes. Sweet to know that I'm saved and going to heaven and all these wonderful things are before me. But I want to tell you, when I think of my unsaved relatives, it's real bitter. They're going to hell. I think of one that I saw recently. I never saw one young man. Oh, he's probably 30, 35. Walking about in pride as if he were the last person on earth. Brought up in a Christian home and refuses to take the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. That to me is bitter. Bitter. And I've got three or four of them like that. Bitter. But the word itself, when it comes to be what the Lord has done for me, and beloved, do you know we have a bright future? We read in 1 Corinthians that we're going to see things that we can't even imagine. What's that going to be like? We have a bright future. Let's delight in the word of the Lord. I'm just about finished. The seven wonders of the Bible. Do you know them? There are seven wonders of the ancient world. The pyramids. Our brother and I were talking about them during the recess. The pyramids. The Colossus of Rhodes. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Seven wonders of the ancient world. And some say the eighth wonder were the Twin Towers that they just ran into. You know the seven wonders of this? Of this book? The wonder of its formation. One book composed over 2,500 years, and everybody is consistent. No inconsistencies. Well, you can't get two men to agree on the same thing in writing a book. And here, over 40 men contributed to this book over 2,000 years, and they all agree. Is that a wonder? You know any other book like that? The wonder of its unity. It's one book. The wonder of its unity. The wonder of its age. The oldest book on earth, and still going strong. Still a bestseller. The wonder of its sale, as I mentioned, a bestseller. The wonder of its interest. Little child says, "Mother, read to me the story of Adam and Eve." The child is interested in the story of Adam and Eve. But so am I. General appeal. Appeals to everybody. There's something in the book for everybody. The wonder of its language. This book can be understood in all languages. It is printed in more languages than any other book. And while there are words and thoughts that we may not understand, there are plenty in there that we can understand. And do you know why there are some so-called religious groups that recommend that you don't read the Bible? Because if you read it, you come to understand what God wants. I told Brother George this. And the brother who told me this story is now with the Lord. His mother, father, and the whole family were of a different faith, so-called. His mother got a hold of a Bible and started reading. And she came across a certain verse. And she went to the religious leader and said, "Is this verse true?" He said, "Yes." She said, "Then I don't need you." That's why they don't want you to read the Bible. The language. You can understand. And the wonder of its preservation. How God preserved his own word. Remarkable. I'm finished. The subject is get to love the Word of God. That's all. 222 again, please. The Bible. Oh, I like the Bible. I could almost say I love the Bible. The best book in the world. Once more, beloved. Now, let's sing it as if we mean it. If you're not standing on it, don't sing it. But if you're standing on it, please sing. Now, the B. Thank the Lord for the B-I-B-L-E. The book, not a book. The book, shall we pray. Holy Father, we bow in thy presence with worship, thanksgiving, joy. We thank thee for salvation. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy word from which we learn. Oh, may we appreciate thy word more and more. We shall be meeting shortly for a time of fellowship. Take us to the place safely, we pray. Let thy presence be with us. Grant thy blessing now as we dismiss. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.